Okay. We are back, people. Back like we never left. We're going to get into things. But before we do, I have a little announcement to make. Y'all know I've been doing the comedy thing. I told y'all about the whole comedy competition that I tried and took a part of. And how I was going to try to pursue it because, you know, like I said, I did a whole Kevin Hart, Kevin on Stage episode about my inspiration in comedy and stuff. But it looks like, at least for the foreseeable future, I don't know about foreseeable future, but as long as it's successful, I guess, I'm going to be the host of a local comedy open mic night. At a little club called... Oh, and I forgot the name. Oh, I have to upload it. I think it's Cedarix. Here, let me... let me see. Let me not start to... let me not start to say stuff that I don't know. Cedarix Seafood and Spirit. The address is 7480 Beachmont Ave here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 45255. It looks like we're going to be doing it on Thursdays. I'm not sure if we'll be doing it this Thursday on the 4th, but we definitely want to at least get it kicked off by the 11th. So, yeah, man, I will be the host of the Comedy Open Mic Night. So definitely come down, man. I definitely want to see some new people down there. I want to see some new energies. I want to see some new everything, man. This is going to be a new, different experience for me. Y'all know I'm used to being in front of the mic. Y'all, you know I'm used to being... comical on the mic, being goofy. If you follow me on stream, if you've been following the podcast, y'all know I'm not afraid to talk in front of a crowd. But actually being funny for an extended period of time, or at least entertaining, I'll say, for an extended period of time with a live audience will be interesting. I don't know if maybe I'll do some live podcasts from there, maybe, or interview some people, interview some other local comedians. I'll definitely have to expand my horizons. And to see what all we have here, man. I'm actually looking forward to what this means, man. I don't know. Actually, it's funny. I'm looking up some stuff. I'm reading the reviews of this place, and I'm curious to see what it looks like now that I'm actually talking about it and seeing it. Like I said, you can see it on you can definitely see these stuff on Google Maps. So it looks like everything is on like the same level. Like they're kind of, it looks like they have like a little. Sorry, maybe I should have done this before. I don't know, but yeah, man, that's pretty cool. Cedarix Seafood and Spirit. They got some live music there, dude. That's pretty cool, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to what it's gonna be, man. I'm interested. I'm definitely interested. Anyway, sorry, I spent way too much time on that. Anyway, there's some things going on in the news, man. Got my little breakdown of everything going down. Today we have Elon Musk. Mr. Elon himself was asked, well, actually, there was a UN director who said about Elon Musk that 2% of his wealth could go to end world hunger. And but Elon Musk says no. You guys spent about $6 billion on world hunger. 2% of my income would be I believe he said $2 billion. Let me find it. So yeah, it was the director of the UN World Food Program, David Beasley, He told him to prove that 2% of his wealth could solve world hunger. Beasley was quoted by CNN to have said that a one-time payment of 2% wealth of billionaires alike can solve global hunger, citing specifically the world's two richest men, Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. So yeah, he's saying basically, how will it end world hunger? Yeah, and you've got to prove it online, bro. You've got to post what you're gonna do with the open source accounting. Tell everybody how you're gonna spend my money. Oh wow. And then yeah, he wants you to publish exactly where your money is gonna go to. And I mean, that's real. Like, that's real. I mean, you know, I don't want to say this, bro, but it's too often that people are like, yo, you need to donate. And then you realize that only 50 cents of the dollar of what you're donating actually goes towards a cause that you want to donate it for. Like, it's most of it goes to clerical and administrative stuff, processing and employee salaries for people who work there. It's like, it's not actually going directly to the people. So you're paying for infrastructure. And it's like, when you donate, if people really knew, like, hey, by the way, yes, a dollar a day keeps, you know, the gorilla off this little child's back, but you know, it's like, where's my money going? I mean, and this 2% sounds a lot like the excuse I used to use back in the day. You know, hey, we just need 2%. Hey, baby, I just need a little bit. You know, let me just get a little bit. Let me get a 2%. Let me just put the tip in. Let me just a little bit of the tip. You know what I'm saying? Let me just put that in. That's all I need, and I'll be good. You know what I'm saying? That's what it sounds like to me. That's what this whole argument sounds like. This David guy sounds like he's trying to get him some Elon butt. Okay, and I can't believe that if that's what he's going for, bro. I just can't. But I do support his right to ask. And I support Elon's right to say no. All right? And then he should just leave it alone at that. There should be no follow-up. Sorry, that turned into a weird debate. But it just all goes back to if you really knew where your money was going, would you put a lot of money into stuff? Like, I don't... I still like to donate, but I like to donate, like, physical goods. Like, you can't take a percentage of these canned goods, fam. Like, you can't take a percentage of my shirt, bro. Like, I can donate to Goodwill, not monetarily, but I can give them. Yeah, I got all these clothes, bro. These pillows, these sheets, these, you know, I got whatever. I got lighter people. Hey, look, you never know when a good lighter come in handy. You know what I'm saying? Some napkins, some wet wipes. You never know, bro. I'm trying to tell you. Especially during COVID. Now, let me tell you, Lysol and wet wipes was a commodity. Okay, I was trapping out the bando with the wet wipes, bruh. You know what I'm saying? I had the old Rick Ross, every day I'm hustling. I'm old, but that was playing in the background, bro. That's where I'm at with it right now, okay? Hey, it was a bandemic, you feel me? That's what Future said. Hey, it's a bandemic, you feel me? You got to make the hustle go for you. Oh, man. But I hope everybody's having a good day out there, man. I don't know if we checked in at the beginning of the podcast, but I hope y'all mental health out there is doing pretty good. I hope y'all taking deep breaths. I hope y'all breathing. Hope y'all focusing your inner chi. Not eating that much milk. Drinking water. I have fallen back in love with water once again. Disclaimer, this currently sipping out of a red cup. This is not water. It's not liquor either, but it's not water. It's that bubbly. It is a soda pop, okay? I fell off the wagon, people. I'll admit it. I fell off the wagon. I went to a fast food place. Listen, it was delicious, okay? It was delicious, all right? Had me a little... Speaking of food in general, can I touch on Red Lobster? Like I was saying, Red Lobster. Has there ever been a restaurant less synonymous with what the name is? Like, no one I know goes to Red Lobster for the lobster. Like, yeah, they have a tank with it, but it's like, if you're going to go with the lobster, you're going to go to get you some papados, you know what I'm saying? You're going to go get you some Crab Shack, something good, something not, people don't typically do Red Lobster. You know? Plus, I still think it's barbaric to have a lobster right there that you pick out, slaughter, and then eat. I think that's just crazy. I think that's crazy. Imagine somebody come over to your house. They say, hey, man, you look pretty good. Thanks. And then 5 minutes later, you on their dinner plate. Cooked. I'm like, man, I thought I was dressed to the T. You know what I'm saying? I came out with the bands on. Still. Eating. Gone. Just butt. Just, you know, because that's their rear set. Just busted wide open. You know, I don't know what happened, Lord. Mama, why? You know, because your mama, last thing your mama want is to have your butt busted open, regardless if you're a lobster or not. That's the bottom of the barrel. So, like I'm saying, Red Lobster. Everybody go to Red Lobster for one thing and one thing only, them cheddar biscuits. Okay? Everything else at Red Lobster is just filling. It's just, what can I pair with these cheddar biscuits? Okay? It's like, oh, that goes nice with that wine goes good with a good je ne sais quoi. I'm not cultured, so y'all gonna have to bear with me. A little je ne sais quoi. No, it's like, what can I pair with the cheddar biscuits? All right? Like, the cheddar biscuits is the main encore. Let me get 15 of them cheddar biscuits, and if I got to, let me holler some of them coconut shrimp. You know what I'm saying? Put that on the side. It's not enough to just say, hey, can I? Because that's how they do you now. That's how they fool you at Red Lobster. I done went recently, okay? I went now for the Red Lobster. Obviously, I went for the cheddar biscuits and the Cajun chicken. But when I got there, it said, cheddar biscuits no longer served on takeout order. This is why people riot here in America. Why would you do this to the people? No cheddar biscuits come with your meal? Sir, what kind of witchcraft are y'all performing back there? All right? What do you think we come for, good sir? We damn sure not coming for the ambiance. We not coming for these small card table-like apparatuses that you have us eating at. I don't think Red Lobster invests in real furniture. I think they are ready to close down at any minute. At a moment's notice, Red Lobster is ready to fold up and turn into a cabinet. Five minutes is the switch over. That's why they got the tables. Come on now. But Red Lobster need to be known as Cheddar Biscuit Bay. That's all I'm saying. It would do them a good favor. Because the crazy thing about Red Lobster is a couple years ago, they got some hot water. Red Lobster got us some hot water. And almost cooked them through. Almost got them into a serious court battle because the majority of items of their food don't actually contain lobster. They contain a little other crustacean known as langostino. And if you look at the Red Lobster menu now, they have fettuccine langostino. But before, it was lobster Alfredo. So I'm just saying. If in fact that Red Lobster did get in trouble, that it would statistically that Red Lobster is less likely to be served at a Red Lobster. So that's that's all I'm saying. Like, they weren't even creative in the name Red Lobster, bro. Like, at least McDonald's or Cane's, you know what I'm saying? Gives you the idea of, oh, this is a family establishment. That's a good last name, okay? That's a solid last name. But come on, Red Lobster. Y'all wouldn't even try it.
Hey, it's a Red Lobster. Come on, let's throw it on the grill, throw it on thang, and then just don't even serve it. Just throw it away. get the legacy. Don't put that on the grill. We're going to serve it.
But that's how the people are. That's how the people are. And I personally don't understand it, okay? Eat what you want to eat. Be what you want to be, okay? This is America. I don't know. But y'all hear what I'm saying. Okay? They didn't have the integrity of a McDonald's or a Cane's. But they could eat a Red Lobster. I mean, even the Burger King gives you the impression of this. We got to eat here. This mug the king of burgers, baby. We got to pull over, at least have a sandwich. At least try the cheeseburger. He the king. What they doing to Red Lobster? Hey, this lobster be redden. I mean, what we doing here, people? That's all I'm asking them. That's all I'm asking the folks, okay? What did these lobsters die for? To be served at a mediocre restaurant? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I've never had, and I never understood it, but that's America.
I'm sorry, man. Sometimes I be tripping. But anyway,
I'm looking at my docket. This is my official docket. Jay-Z was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Shout out to Jay-Z. Now, apparently they have a hip-hop Hall of Fame that I knew nothing about. Because I was just curious when I saw the story. I was like, do we have a hip-hop Hall of Fame? And we do. But I do feel like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is so much more appropriate. Just for the simple fact that, you know, black people invented rock and roll. So, you're not just gone. Because rock and roll is one of those terms where it's like, rock is a, I give you rock as a genre of music, but rock and roll is a culture. It's almost, and I'm, it would, in the same way that a rock and roll branch from jazz is the same way that hip hop, in a way, comes from rock and roll. If you really think about it, it's all the same culture. It's all black culture, African American culture. Specifically African-American culture. Not African culture, but found it here, and it is a uniquely American thing that I think is dope. Y'all know, y'all heard my crazy theories about how I think about, you know, black people and going through certain experiences. Like, you know, they say that, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I'll say it a million times if I have to. People who have PTSD go through a biological change. Their body reacts to stress completely differently because of the physical and emotional stress that they went to. Their body, just from hearing a similar sound, can pores can start reacting. They can start shaking involuntarily. They can start seizing up. Certain bodily functions can literally stop functioning just from going through a similar experience. Genetically, they look different, frayed around the edges in a sense. Because of the PTSD, and that's just from a war that you only experience your warlike conditions for 4 years, I believe, if you commit, five. Imagine being in slavery for 400 years, you know what I'm saying? That's a genetic change, a molecular level, you know what I'm saying? Like, it changed biologically what the slaves were into what you see today as African Americans. I don't know if that's Darwinism. I don't know if that's I don't know what kind of theory that is, but that's what I believe truly and wholeheartedly. Like, yes, African American culture comes from African culture, but it's also uniquely its own thing. Like, yes, we originate from over there, but it's like, yo, this is our land too, bro. Like, you're not going, you, this country, oh, us, fam. Like, this, it's not even a question at this point. But like I say, that's, they were getting too down far of my crazy radical ideas. But I want y'all to know who I am. I've told y'all a million and one times, okay? When my scandal break, I want y'all to know exactly who I am. I don't want nobody to be shocked or surprised about what I'm telling y'all, okay? I don't want nobody to be like, I didn't know he was that type of person. He always presented himself as, no, I'm crazy, okay? All right? I love chicken and bacon. Okay, do with that what you will. All right? Listen, if that makes me stereotypical, hey, well then, type my stereo. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Okay? Ain't nothing wrong with a stereo that's typical. All right? You listen to music on all types of different speakers. Who cares if it's a stereo? Okay? If it's a real stereo, who gives a damn? I'm sorry. I just get riled up about my music. What I'm saying is this, people. Cook your bacon with eggs in the store. All right. back to the Jay-Z story. I mean, I think it's really dope that he got inducted to the Hip Hop Hall of Fame. Give the people the flowers while they're here to smell them. You know what I mean. Don't fart on people. Just make sure they get the good roses. And, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's one of those stories where it's like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can't say rock and roll and exclude hip-hop. You know what I mean? Like, it's two and the same. It's just like excluding blues without, you know, hip-hop. It's like excluding, you know, spirituals without blues. It's like it all leads back to slavery. Like, that is what makes the music uniquely American, is because it all leads back to the thing that was originally American, slavery. Like, American slavery was its own unique thing that was horrible and torturous and absolutely just, oh, why? But out of that death and massacre and killing and bloodshed and just absolutely inhumane conditions they used to treat people with, through all of that, you eventually get James Brown. So it in a way it kind of balances out. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, we got the go ahead then, James Brown. Hey, I ain't mad at you, James. Sing that thing, man. Go ahead. I don't know what you're saying, but you're singing it, boy. Go ahead. That's proof that's like scat. Like, he brought back scat a little bit, because he'd be like, a little bit. He'd be like, listen, I don't know what this man is saying, but he's singing it. You know what I'm saying? Don't worry about what he's saying. Is he singing it? That's a black people thing right there. That's what when we go to church, like, we know the general, like, everybody knows the song. Like, we done heard the song 50 million times, but if you could put the sauce on it, you get up there and start praising Jesus with the sauce on it, listen. Everybody loves some sauce. Even I know Jesus loves some sauce, okay? We all love us some good sauce on it, okay? Shoot. My grandfather, rest in peace. We had a singer. I can't think of her name, but listen. I'm sitting there. My face is blown back. I'm like, I'm already crying, but now we got this woman over here. Vocals just God. Like, imagine butter on top of cream in a bowl of whole milk, encased in a shrine of white chocolate. That's how smooth and silky and just damn her voice was. And I'm just sitting there. I'm already like, grandfather, like, rest in peace. He's in the casket. I'm trying to be strong for my family. But then she starts singing, and I'm eating every piece of this sadness that she's putting on me. She just, I can't remember the song, but sometimes it's not about words. Like I said, was she saying it or was she singing it? I don't remember what she said, but she was singing the hell out them vocals. And I'm just sitting there breaking down. Because I thought, like, listen, I would be strong for my family. I want to, you know, the women in my life, my grandfather's daughters, my mom and aunt, you know, aunts. And, you know, I'm going to be strong for them. And then she just hit me with the blast of just, whoa. And I'm just like, and just body just sitting here, but soul just screaming. Lord! I was no more good. I couldn't hear nothing. Like, you know when you be so emotional that, like, the rest of the world just disappears momentarily and you just stuck in like that. You just, that's all you got is your breath and your mind is just racing. You just, you can't even, the world is just, it ain't nothing right now. You can't see nothing. You know it's there, but it's not there at the same time. Okay? All right? It's like a fart. When you walk into a fart, it's like, oh, I can feel it just all around me. I need to find a way. Like, you don't know where it is, but you know it's there. You know what I'm saying? That's what the spirit was like when it hit me. It was just, oh, I can't see nothing, can't feel nothing. I knew it was there, but I was like, I need to find my way back. My spirit has left my body, and it's up there rejoicing with the Lord with these vocals, and I need to bring it back to my body so I can function in this realm, okay? I can't be sitting here with no soul trying to just, like, I can't do nothing. You know what I'm saying? How am I supposed to tie my shoes without a soul, okay? You got to have soles in your shoes. That's why they call it a soul shoe. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you put your soul on your shoe, you put your soul back in your body. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So what I'm saying is this, people. Tie your shoes and keep your soul together in the story. All right, last story we have today is New York Times article. This is more on a serious note. New York Times article was posted that police killed over 400 people over the past 5 years that had no weapon, no gun, no knife, no sword, no machine gun, no, you know, cell phone that they mistook for a gun. Rest in peace. No bag of Skittles. They had nothing. Those stories might sound similar if you follow the news. But anyway, police killed over 400 people over a five-year period that had no sort of weapon whatsoever simply because they were This part of it is speculation. The data was 400 people were killed over a 5-year period, which was a little bit more than a person a week, if you do the math. So what I'm saying is this. This is all I'm saying. And I mean, you got to keep it real with the peoples. Maybe, just maybe, police shouldn't respond to every non-violent situation. Hey, if you speeding, woo-woo, hey, slow down. Pull them over. You ain't even got to get out the car. Hey, you being detained. You're going to get something in the mail with this license plate right here. And if he has a, the idea that I've always had, well, not always had, but that I've heard that was pretty good is you should have a intervention specialist. Like in certain situations, like, hey, if you, and this isn't specific to the motorist thing, but just cops in general, that I think could really make sure that people live a lot longer, is that when you have a freaking homeless person, like patronizing a store or sitting around in a freaking mall, like, you don't have to call the cops for that. Get an intervention specialist. Like, get someone who can de-escalate the situation. Hey, we got a call. They don't want you around here. Well, how can I help you? What's going on in your life? Can I give you some resources? You know, why are you here? Are you, is it a mental health thing? Are you, do you literally not have a home? Or are you fighting with somebody? Are you physical, domestic abuse? How can we make your situation better? Whereas a policeman is just literally going there to be like, look, we need you off the property. This is a person's request. This is a taxpayer. I want to satisfy the taxpayer. It's like, no, let's help the person that's going through whatever they're going through. You know what I mean? Like, let's get somebody to intervene and actually want to benefit that homeless person. I think it would help to reduce homelessness and loitering in certain places. If you know that somebody who's coming there, you got to sit and talk to this mother for a few hours about how they can help you and satisfy your life. Now, if it gets to the point where, hey, this person running through, they breaking stuff, they slamming things, and it's getting violent, it's like, all right, now we got to get the cops, somebody. And not even police, maybe just, I don't know, citizens on patrol, like COP, like not actually the police, but like, hey, we got a community of people here that come together, let's call them. And then, but then, hey, they punching people out, they got weapons, they call the cops, get them in here. Well, then it would be like SWAT or something, but you know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say. It's like, we can save so much money if we just divulge some of the resources in different places. That's when people be like, defund the police. It sounds crazy, but they defund police in my city all the time. Cincinnati, Ohio, they just went through trying to cut into police's pensions and everything else because they just don't have the funds to move and continue at the rate that they're going at. They've had to let people go. They've had to bring people out of retirement. Well, try to bring people out of retirement at reduced wages. And it's just like, they can't hire new people. It's like, hey, we'll give it to your retirement, but we can't give you any cash in your hand type of thing. Like, it's really weird. And it's like, if we're going that route anyway, why not cut back on some of their expenses and try to help them out in the long run? But some stuff has become so politicized in this country. It's just like, we're not saying fire police. We're saying don't put them out on every single call. You make sure that their resources are being maximized and valued, and actually you don't, like, police have to go out to frickin', this guy frickin' spit at my dog, and he threatened that he was going to throw a frickin' cheeseburger at me, and I feel threatened. And it's like, bro, like, police have to actually respond to threats like that and go out to the man's house. Like, bro, what's going on? But I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. But they have got to train people better for this. If they're killing 400 people over a 5-year period who have no weapon, we're not even talking about the ones that actually do have weapons. We're not talking about the situations they respond to violence. This is, they killed over 400 people over traffic stops that had no weapons whatsoever. They were found with no weapons at the scene of the crime. The scene of the murder, I'm sorry. Not even crime. Well, the policeman did commit a crime, but we don't want to have that conversation. Nothing. But I don't know. It is what it is. People put up with what they want to put up with. That's all I really know. Okay? That's all I really got for folks. Just love who you can love. Stay strong and you know, wash your butt, I guess. I mean, that's the big thing. If you don't take anything else away from this story, take this. Wash your butt. All right? Cleanse it. Wash it. Wipe it. Soap it. Suds it. Male, female, non-binary, it don't matter. Wash your butt. Okay? That is the thing that we can all connect with. On a biological level, wash your booty. All right, just, you know, I don't care about your political views. I don't care about, your religious views. I don't even care about what you look like. But wash your butt. I mean, that's pretty much all I got for today, man. Look in the mirror. Check yourself. Remember the good times. Love everybody. But wash your butt. All right, man. I'm